Essex with Steve Scruton. BBC
Essex. Now, at long last, the opening is virtually upon us. The opening of what, you cry? Well, let me tell you, the Royal Gunpowder Mills at Waltham Abbey will be officially opened, fingers crossed, tomorrow, with the first public day on Thursday. Well, to tell us all about this project, I have the director with me in the studio, Robert Taylor. Robert, good afternoon.
Hello.
Breathing a sigh of relief, I should imagine.
Indeed, it's been a very long process to get to here. We originally were going to open 6 weeks ago, but because of the foot and mouth epidemic, we've had to delay. The reason is the site's a very large site, as well as the historic building. It's got a deer herd as part of the nature reserve, and obviously we couldn't open with the current restrictions.
And rightly so. Now, just to remind listeners, the Royal Gunpowder Mills were closed back in 1991 as a defence establishment, and virtually ever since then there's been a move to keep them open because they are of great public interest. Why is this?
Well, I think the importance is that when they closed the defence establishment in 1991, there was a survey carried out by the predecessors of part of English Heritage, and they discovered that actually what was remaining there was all the buildings and waterways and railway systems that showed how gunpowder and explosives had been manufactured for over 300 years. And there's nowhere else like it in Europe or probably the world. It gives a whole opportunity to see the whole of the processes and how the buildings were designed for safety and security. And we have the records as well that shows actually what went on in the building. So it's a very important heritage resource.
So it was vital, in fact, that these buildings weren't, and they could have been, so easily blown up, flattened, and the site redeveloped. But fortunately, that hasn't happened.
Indeed. Some of the buildings, as you might expect in gunpowder manufacture, did blow up, but they were designed to be easily brought back into use. I think the other good thing was, because it was such a large site, and post the Second World War, when the Ministry used it as a research establishment, they just abandoned quite a lot of the buildings, and also, very helpfully, adapted the existing gunpowder buildings as laboratories. So they kept them really in this present form that you see today.
I think a member of royalty is coming tomorrow to do the official opening. Is that right?
Yes, we're welcoming the Duke of Gloucester to perform the official opening, and then the following day it'll be open to the public, and as we say in our literature, for the first time in 300 years.
Yes, and I guess there'll be a lot of interest. Can you tell us, for those who perhaps can't get along, you know, for this first day, what are we going to see if we do pay a visit? You've talked about the buildings. Why are they so special? Can you describe them to us?
Well, it is a unique site because it does have these very large buildings that we use for gunpowder manufacture, and also gunpowder manufacture is an interesting subject. I didn't know much about it, I have to admit, before I took over. But you can see an awful lot of technological change and technological development in gunpowder manufacture. And a lot of the materials and processes developed at Waltham Abbey were exported to all the other gunpowder manufacturers in the country and the world. From the visitor's point of view, we've got a very major, spectacular, interactive exhibition which introduces explosives history and allows people to have computer interactives making gunpowder or blowing themselves up, depending on how well they do.
Oh dear.
There's even one where they can be part of a gun crew and actually put pretend cannonballs down a chute and see what happens.
Wow.
All this is introduced by a spectacular film really telling the story of gunpowder explosives and setting into context Waltham Abbey's part in it.
Sounds fascinating. And then, as if that were not enough, as you've rightly said, there is the nature reserve side of things. We can maybe take a packed lunch and enjoy the outdoor atmosphere as well.
Yes, the site is very large. It's 175 acres in all. Visitors will be able to roam on their own through about half of that, and there will be guided tours into the other part of the area. We do have the largest heronry in Essex, and also the deer herd and lots of other valuable flora and fauna. And we do manage the trees in the nature reserve as well to try and bring back some of the tree growth. So it's a very fascinating site for a number of reasons. It's both technology and nature in the same site.
I suppose one of the most interesting things for me would be to see how this stuff was tested and the special buildings and constructions that were used in order to allow this stuff to be tested relatively safely, because one imagines, you know, 300 years ago or however long, safety devices and the regard for human beings perhaps wasn't as high as it is today.
I think that's true. You know, one of the interesting things I've discovered is I think because of the dangerous nature of the materials they were making, safety was always a priority. You could say that's because the materials were expensive and the buildings were expensive, but also the trained staff were expensive to replace. And so there were an awful lot of safety features built into the buildings. In one, the incorporating mills, and incorporating's part of making the gunpowder process.
Is that like a dangerous part?
That's quite a dangerous part. Yeah. That's really where you get the three gunpowder ingredients and you roll heavy metal or iron rollers over them for 3 or 4 hours to try and compress all the ingredients together. And those were designed carefully. They had very thick sidewalls, very flimsy front and back, and also all the driving mechanisms were underneath. So if there was an explosion, the walls blew out, and the driving mechanism in that bay would be damaged, but the other bays could probably continue. So an awful lot of innovation went into it, an awful lot of careful process and design went into it, and these, as I say, were exported to the other factories.
And one imagines that occasionally things did go wrong.
There were an awful lot of spectacular explosions. You know, quite a lot of these are, as they were at the time, recorded by the Illustrated London News artist who happened to be there at the time with his sketchbook, you're led to believe. There's a lot of people running from buildings on fire and you think, well, he must have been there soon after. But there were a number of spectacular explosions. Quite a lot of the records we have are of boards of inquiry after explosions, and there's pictures of sad bits of broken building or lying in a heap and they're saying, oh dear, what went wrong? But it was, you know, I think they learned a lot from explosions. They were all recorded, and the buildings were designed, as I say, with safety in mind. Some were surrounded by earth buns to keep the explosion in. A lot of trees were planted to minimise the effect of explosions, and lots of other safety features introduced.
Was any of the site actually designed for deliberately exploding the stuff to see how strong it was, how powerful it was?
There were some test areas, but they tended to do quite a lot of the testing, you know, at sea or, you know, on weapons ranges. There's a very famous testing when the government took over Waltham Abbey in 1787 as a, you know, really nationalised the private industries, and they had some tests of the government establishments against the private establishment on Marlborough Downs. And the two government establishments, Waltham Abbey and Faversham, were sort of about hundreds of yards further than the others. They fired hundreds of yards further than the others. The important thing about the gunpowder and the government establishments was that the government took them over because they wanted the gunpowder to be both reliable, i.e. when you fired it or tried to fire it, went off, and also to go as far as you thought it would, because that was quite important in battle. If you wanted to go 200 yards and this batch only went 100 yards, you might not defeat your enemy. So reliability and quality was a key aspect of the government's nationalisation process. And as I say, in these tests, the national bodies did well.
Another interesting side to this, of course, is the fact that it was a semi-secret establishment up until its closure in 1991. And we're all very curious. I mean, we all want to go inside. Things like the secret bunkers that were opened up quite recently. We want to see how the government were going to cope with situations. And this is another one of those, isn't it? It's getting inside, you know, a secret establishment and just looking over the fence for a change.
I think that's true. You know, I think the important thing is, you know, to remember that it was a very large secret establishment. During the First World War, when they were making cordite for the troops in the trenches, they had 6,000 people working there, 3,000 of them women from the local area. But apart from the people who worked there, as you say, no one else has been allowed in. It was patrolled by the Ministry of Defence Police. And this is the first opportunity for people to see what it was like. And what we have done is obviously restored a number of the very nice buildings so people can see how they were designed.
Yes, and how much of the security, you know, that was in place back in, you know, the 80s and the very early 90s, have you left in place so that we can see the kinds of security measures that were used?
Well, certainly coming into the site is a bit daunting. You go through a building that's surrounded by a sort of earth bund in the dark and then come out through an area of mass security fences, which gives you a feel of what it might be like. Once you go in there, it's not overt, the security is not as bad. But obviously, if you see in the film, you can see that when people came to work, they were searched for matches, light, you know, any materials could damage the products that they were making. So there was, you know, you were searched on entry by policemen. We've got this famous shot of a one-legged policeman sort of standing on his crutches searching someone with his hands.
Amazing. And clearly, because the records have been kept intact, photographs have been preserved, The exhibition, one imagines, has been fairly simple to set up. You've used a lot of new technology, though. You've mentioned computers.
Yes, we've got, you know, a number of computer interactives which actually do allow you these days to explore quite a lot more material. There's one which is a virtual tour of the site, which really like as a reference volume, and we have some audio tapes playing of people's experience of going to the site, people who worked in the site post-war. We've got a very large oral history programme we're continuing with to record the experience of people who worked on the site, and those have been incorporated. And we've got a number of other things that allow you to sort of test the bouncing bomb, because the explosive for the bouncing bomb in the Second World War was made at Waltham Abbey, and you too can be part of Barnes Wallace's team and see how you can make it spin forward and back.
Some real boys' own stuff here as well, isn't there? I would imagine this exhibition, not only, of course, this whole site of interest to Essex, because it's in Essex, it's at Waltham Abbey, but it'll also be of international interest too. You're going to have visitors from all over the world to this, aren't you?
Indeed. We hope that that's the case. We're already trying to make links with other gunpowder sites throughout the world. There's one in Cork, County Cork in Ireland, which we've already got links with. There's others in Europe, and there's one in Hagley in the USA. And we're also working with Essex County Council on the European Route of Industrial Heritage, which is something that we hope will link to Europe with.
I must ask you, time's run out, but there are two remaining questions, very important. First of all, the site. Where exactly? It's in Waltham Abbey, but it's not in the town centre.
It's not far from the town centre, surprisingly. I think the town grew up around it. It's for visitors, it's signposted from the M25. If you go off at the junction 26 for Waltham Abbey, there are new signs saying Royal Gunpowder Mills, and the new link roads takes you straight to our entrance.
And the price of admission?
The price of admission for adults is £5.90. For children, £3.25, and there's a family ticket for two adults and up to three children at £17, and there's reductions for students and pensioners.
And one imagines you're open most days, are you?
We're open every day from Thursday, from 10 a.m, and we hope all those people who haven't been able to go out because of the foot and mouth disease will come and visit us.
I think you're in for a very busy weekend. My thanks to Robert Taylor, director of the Royal Gunpowder Mills, Waltham Abbey. It opens officially tomorrow, the first public day on Thursday. Robert, good luck with it.
Thank you very much.